If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, go with me tonight to the 103rd Psalms. The 103rd Psalm. I have to confess that Thanksgiving is one of my favorite days of the entire year. I don't know if you feel that way about it. I do. This year, we will go over to my mom and dad's house for Thanksgiving, and we'll gather around the table, and we'll pray, and then we'll eat. And we'll eat, and we'll eat some more. And then, when I think I can't eat any more, my mom will break out the pies and the desserts, and I'll eat some more. And then, about the time that all the dessert is eaten, we will waddle up the stairs to go watch the Dallas Cowboys play football. If you live in Texas, you ought to watch the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I can't give you a chapter and verse on that, but I'm almost sure it's scriptural. We'll talk about a lot of things around the dinner table. I'm sure we'll talk about the church and we'll talk about our family. I'm sure that we'll talk about politics. And about the time that we've solved all the world's problems, it'll be time to break the leftovers out again. And we'll eat, and we'll play some games, and we'll go home. I love Thanksgiving. I'll have a lot of conversations that day with people that I love dearly all day long. The most important conversation I'll have that day, and the one I'm looking forward to the most, is one that David talks about in the 103rd Psalm. And I want you to read the first verse. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Look at verse 22. We end where we began. "Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." The title of the message this evening is "Some Words to Speak to Your Soul." Some words to speak to your soul. The most important conversation I'll have on Thursday will happen well before we leave for my parents' house. Sometime, hopefully before my children awake, I'll pour myself a cup of coffee. I'll do my Worth in the Word reading for that day, and then I'll read some Psalms of Thanksgiving. I like to read on Thanksgiving Day Psalms 100 through 105. They're all about praising the Lord. And that morning, with a cup of coffee and on my knees before the Lord, I will have a conversation with my soul. And I will tell my soul, "Soul, bless the Lord. Soul, bless the Lord." Did you know that sometimes you need to talk to your own soul? Sometimes your soul needs a good talking to. Every once in a while, I'll come home after a long day at work. Tori will meet me at the door, and she will say, "You need to talk to your children." Now, in many cases, they need more than a talking to, but sometimes a talking to is all it takes. I'll sit at the end of their bed, and we'll chat for a little while, and I'll talk to them, and their behavior will drastically change, and hopefully we don't have to take it further. Listen, your soul needs a good talking to every once in a while. I've told you before, you are the most important preacher in your life. If I'm lucky, I get to preach to you two or three times a week. That's if I'm lucky. You preach yourself hundreds and thousands of messages every week in the auditorium of your mind. And I think that perhaps the most important message we could preach to our soul is a message of gratitude. It's easy for us to forget how great our God is. It's easy for us to forget about all His blessings and benefits in our lives. So we need to remind ourselves every once in a while and speak to our souls about all the good things that God has done for us is the easiest way I know of to become a grateful person. How would you like to be a grateful person? No one likes to be a mumbler. Nobody likes to hang out with complainers. You want to be a grateful person. The easiest way I know to become a grateful person is to speak words of blessing about the Lord to your own soul. Now, David says, bless the Lord. What does that mean? Well, the word bless means to fall down on your knees. It literally means to kneel. It's the action of a person who has come into the presence of one who is greater than himself or greater than herself. So David is literally saying, soul, fall down on your spiritual knees and bless this great God. The whole psalm is arranged around the idea of blessing God. In verses 6 through 19, he directs the children of Israel to bless the Lord. In verses 20 through 22, he instructs all of the heavens and all of the angels and all the earth to bless the Lord. But what I want to focus on this evening is that David tells his own soul to bless the Lord. He's directing himself to bless the Lord with all that is within him. Now, in the verses that we read, David gave us five reasons to bless God. And I'm going to tell you, these reasons have nothing to do with how much money you make, nothing to do with your relationship status, nothing to do with what kind of car you drove to church in or how many people you'll be gathered with on Thanksgiving Day. These are five things that every child of God can bless God for. And we're going to let David give us the outline tonight. He says, first of all, bless the Lord because he's the one who forgiveth all my iniquities. Verse 3. Now listen, if David just stopped there, if he didn't go any further, he said, close the book and say amen, wouldn't we have all the reason we ever needed to bless the Lord for all of eternity? He has forgiven all of our iniquities. Look at verse 10. He says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't that great? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you tonight that the price of forgiveness is high. God doesn't deal with us according to our iniquities because he dealt with Jesus according to our iniquities. The Bible says he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have forgiveness. How? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that it only cost God his word to create a universe with 100 billion planets in it? Do you realize all it cost him was his breath to make man a living soul? All it cost him to heal a blind man was a little dirt and a little saliva. But to save your sin-sick soul and to forgive you of all your sin, it cost God the most precious substance in all the universe, the blood of his dear son. The price of forgiveness is high. And we ought to say tonight, bless the Lord. David knew more about the price of sin than most people did, didn't he? Commentators say that David wrote this when he was an older man. I would imagine that every time of the year, when it got to that time of the year when kings went off to war, that David started to think about some of the price of his sin. What do you think? He probably thought about that fateful day he saw Bathsheba and about all the shame he brought to him and his family. He probably thought about the murder of Uriah and the death of his children, the death of Amnon, the rape of Tamar, the death of Absalom, the death of that little baby. David knew a lot about the price of sin. And I would imagine that he had a lot of sleepless nights about his sin, that he was tempted to carry around a lot of guilt about his sin. I bet David wept all the time about the price his sin cost him. What do you bet? But look at what he wrote. in verse 11. He said, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." David said, God hasn't just forgiven my sins, he's forgotten them. He's removed them as far away as the east is from the west. David, how many of our sins is God removed from us? He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Praise God, they're all gone tonight. H.G. Spafford was a wealthy Chicago lawyer who invested much of his money in real estate. In 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed most of Spafford's wealth. 2 years later, he and his wife lost their only son of scarlet fever. 2 years after that, in 1873, the Spaffords decided they needed to get out of Chicago and go to Europe. Their good friend D.L. Moody was going to be preaching there, and they wanted to join him on his tour. Mr. Spafford had some business to attend to, so he sent his wife and his four daughters over the sea ahead of him. On November the 22nd, 1873, their boat was struck by an iron sailing vessel in the Atlantic Ocean. The ship went down. 226 people lost their lives. Spafford was desperate for news. It took days for his wife to get back for London. She telegrammed him as soon as she could. He got that telegram and it began with two terrible words, "Saved alone." Spafford, of course, got on a boat over to Europe to see his wife as fast as he could. The way one of his later children would tell the story is that as soon as they got over the part where the boat went down, the captain notified him and said, "Mr. Spafford, as best we know, this is the place where your four little girls died." They tell the story that while he was over that place, he pulled out a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote the well-known words to the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." He wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll," and you can just imagine the waves of the ocean as he looks down into the sea where his little girls gasp for breath and drown. He said, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." That's an amazing verse. It gets more amazing because he writes this, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought." I've got to admit to you tonight that if I was looking at the place where my children perish, I would not be in bliss and I would not be thinking glorious thoughts. He said, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Now, I don't know what kind of 2019 you've had so far. Some of you have faced cancer this year. Some of you have lost mates this year. Some of you have fought the greatest battles of your lives this year. But there is a thought that when this burdened man thought about it, it caused worship to well up in him and it brought bliss to his mind. It was the thought that all of his sin had been nailed to the cross and he would never see it again. And I'm here to tell you tonight, every person who's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ has a reason to be grateful. And when your soul is full of grief and your soul is full of pain and you're ready to complain and give up in God, remind your soul, he's forgiven all my iniquities. That's a reason to praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He forgiveth all my iniquities. Secondly, he says, he healeth all my diseases. Would you look this way? If you have health and strength tonight, you ought to bless the Lord. If you have legs that work without pain, you ought to bless the Lord. If you have lungs that breathe oxygen without pain tonight, you ought to bless the Lord. If on Thanksgiving Day you can eat all of the pumpkin pie and pecan pie, and yes, I mean to eat them both, and an apple pie if it's there, and some scoops of vanilla ice cream on top, if you can eat all of that and your body does not need insulin, it will turn it into sugar and it will not send you into diabetic shock, you have reason tonight to bless the Lord. We take our health for granted, don't we? We usually take it for granted until we lose it. This is a testimony from David. He's an older man, and he realizes that to have the kind of health he has in an advanced age is a gift from God. Well, let me ask you a question. What about those tonight who aren't healthy? What about those of you who've been praying for a healing and it hasn't come yet? Or you're praying that a loved one would be healed and they haven't been healed yet? Can you still bless the Lord for His healing? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hold your place. We'll be back at the 103rd Psalm. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he starts listing all of the different persecutions and trials that he's been through. And look at what he says in verse 15. He says, "For all things," talking about these trials, "all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." He said, "I'd do it all again as long as people would come to Jesus and praise the Lord." Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Paul says, as my outward man has been decaying, as my outward man has been perishing and my body has been breaking down, I've learned something. My inner man is being renewed day by day. My body is getting weaker, but somehow my soul and spirit are getting stronger. And this perishing of my outer man, this sickness and pain in my body, is working for me, he says, something that is far more glorious and something that is far more weighty than health ever could. It is molding me into the image of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're sick tonight, your sickness is like the sculptor's wheel, and the loving hands of a heavenly Father are using that sickness to make you more like Jesus. And though your outer man is weaker, your inner man is stronger, and Paul says that's far more glorious than to have a healthy body. I think as David talks about the healing of our diseases, he's also talking not only about a physical healing and not only the inner man becoming stronger, I think he's also talking about that ultimate healing. Don't you? You see, there are a lot of people we've prayed for this year, and some of them have been healed here. And we praise God for that. But some of them have not been healed here, but they were healed there. And I'm going to tell you something. If you go into the hospital, I'm going to pray that God heals you here. I want you to come to church. I want you to keep serving the Lord. I want you to get healed. I'm going to pray you get healed here. But here's what I know. If God raises you up from that hospital bed, you're going to go back someday. And there will come a time when you are not healed here, because God had a better healing in store for you, the ultimate healing, the healing of heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we can rejoice tonight that there's no chemotherapy in heaven. There are no children's hospitals or ICUs in heaven. There's no pain medication in heaven. One of these days, whether here or there, God is going to heal every person in this room who is struggling with disease, as long as you know Jesus. And I think we could agree with David that we ought to bless the Lord because he has healed us of our diseases. Let's go back to the 103rd Psalm. He gives us another reason. He says, my soul should bless the Lord because he redeemeth my life from destruction. Now, the word destruction here is really interesting. It literally means the pit. Can I ask you a question? You ever been in the pits? David had been. Remember, David had a lot of trials in his life, didn't he? He had to escape a lion and a bear. One time, a madman named Saul chased him through the wilderness for years, and he would hide in caves. One time, his own son, Absalom, ran him out of town and into the wilderness. David knew what it was like to be in a pit. Do you? He would write this in the 40th Psalm. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Think back to the pits that you faced in life. Isn't that your testimony? You were down there and it was terrible and it was dark. You prayed for God's deliverance and you waited patiently on the Lord. And one day his nail-pierced hand reached down further than the pit was and he pulled you up. And then he set you up upon a rock. And then he tuned you up and gave you a song of deliverance that other people could hear and they would be glad. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, many of us have faced pits in 2019, haven't we? Certainly we have. And if you're in one right now, I would admonish you, wait upon the Lord. It will not be long before he delivers you. Yeah. David looks back on his life. He's been in a lot of pits, and he says, I bless the Lord because he delivered me from them all. Then he says, I bless the Lord because he crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. The word loving kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. Its New Testament counterpart is grace. David said, I praise the Lord because he's crowned me with undeserved kindness, unmerited favor. Ladies and gentlemen, we can bless the Lord because every day of our lives we are recipients of the amazing grace of God. Spurgeon in his treasury has a wonderful note here. He says, our Lord does nothing by halves. He will not stay his hand until he has gone to the uttermost with his people. Cleansing, healing, redemption are not enough. He must needs make them kings and crown them. And the crown must be far more precious than if it were made of corruptible things such as silver and gold. It is studded with gems of grace and lined with the velvet of loving kindness. It is decked with the jewels of mercy, but made soft for the head to wear by a lining of tenderness. Then he asked, shall God crown us, and shall we not crown him? Up, my soul, and cast thy crown at his feet, and in lowliest reverence worship him who hath so greatly exalted thee as to lift thee from the dunghill and set thee among princes. Amen. It's not enough that he would save me, not enough that he would redeem me, but he has made me a king and he has made you ladies a queen. He's accepted us into his family, and every day of our lives he crowns us with grace and loving kindness. Amen. What a Savior. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Then he says one more thing. He says, he satisfieth my mouth with good things. Take just a moment, if you would. and think back over the last year about all of the good things that you've experienced. I mean, if we started to write down every good thing that happened to us this year, I don't think a whole notebook could contain our blessings. James chapter 1 says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Think back. Every time you laughed, every time you got a hug or a kiss, every delicious meal you drank this year, or you ate this year. I was getting to that here in a minute. Every good cup of coffee you drank this year. Every time someone encouraged you. Every time someone got on this platform and sang a song that blessed your heart. Every time you opened up your Bible and God spoke to you. All of those things over the last year came from God. Nothing good that happens in our lives happens by accident. They all happen because God sends them. And David says, I'm not only saved, I'm satisfied. Can I ask you tonight, are you satisfied with God? Are you satisfied with His goodness in your life? Oh, I know there's probably a few things you want, probably a few things you even think you need. But if you stepped back, couldn't you say that God has given you far more than you ever thought He would and far more than you ever deserved? And David says at the end of the verse, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, grateful people are young at heart. One preacher told the story of an elderly woman at an extended care nursing facility. She had a debilitating disease. Her body was wasting away. A student at the local seminary went to see her and kept finding himself going back, drawn by the strange force of the woman's joy. When she could no longer move her arms or her legs, she would say, I'm just so happy I can move my neck. When she could no longer move her neck, she would say, I'm so glad I can hear and see. The student was moved by these words, and he finally asked the woman what would happen if she could no longer see or hear. The old lady said to the young man, I'll just be grateful that you come and visit me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's always something to be grateful for. And free indeed is the person who will find it and be renewed. David said. Someone has said that feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Ladies and gentlemen, the day is not called thanks feeling. I think we all feel gratitude to God for what He's done in our lives. The day is called thanksgiving. Express it to God. Tell Him about it. On Thursday morning, join me in drinking a cup of coffee. If you drink a cup of coffee, open up your Bible and tell your soul to bless the Lord. And when your soul reminds you of all your pain and problem and burdens, remind your soul of God's blessings and God's benefits of your life. Remind you that your iniquities have been forgiven, that your diseases have been and will be healed. Remind your soul of the pit and of the crown. And take the moments to recall that all the good things in your life were good gifts from the good hand of God. My guess is your soul, like my soul tonight, needed a good talking to. Soul, bless the Lord. And can I tell you this? You don't have to wait till Thursday to become a grateful person. Let's pray together, may we? Our Father, we thank You for Your word that reminds us how incredibly blessed we truly are. You've sent so many blessings down upon us. Help us to recognize it. Help us to be grateful for it. And help us to send the blessing right back up. Father, I pray that over the next few moments, Your people would be marked by a spirit of profound gratitude. And may you know that we know what you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? The greatest gift God's ever given any person is the gift of the forgiveness of sins. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, leave your place. We'd be grateful for an opportunity to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I have a feeling you're feeling grateful. Why don't you come express it to God? Come tell Him, like the song said, that you love Him, that you really are grateful. Take some time to tell your soul to bless the Lord. I'm going to ask Tori and Will and Anna to come and join me here, and we're going to pray together and thank God. You know, Anna got saved this year. Bless the Lord for that. Will is growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bless the Lord for that. Oh, I've got a lot to thank God for tonight. I bet you do too. Brother Johnson's going to lead us in a verse. You come tonight.